Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to those who are joining us online this morning as well. I've got a question this morning to start out with to ask you. Has anything been feeling uneasy or uncertain for you in these days? Have you felt like things are changing and you're not always sure where they're headed and what it means for your future? Are there things that you've been grieving lately and you're not sure how to process that grief alongside the real hope of your faith? If so, what Jesus is teaching in our text today might be very timely for you. This fall, we've been learning what it looks like to live in the world as Jesus' disciples, and many have been using the materials from the Practicing the Way course in our groups and learning this. And part of that course encourages people to intentionally develop a Sabbath practice, to find a time, ideally a day, in the busy schedule of our lives to intentionally stop and just be, without being productive. To be present with God and with the people that you love, remembering that you're part of a life that's much bigger than anything that you can produce. To remember that you belong to a God who loves you. And it also encourages you to find times of silent solitude and prayer with God throughout the week. Finding your own like little mini Sabbaths through the week to be available to receive what the Lord might want to be doing in your life on a daily basis. But once you start doing these practices, carving out these times of quiet and stillness with the Lord, at first you might experience a deeper sense of peace and well-being, but then don't be surprised if things start to change, because once you really start to slow down and practice being still in the presence of God, once you let go of the busyness that tends to fill every single moment of your life, often what starts to rise up in that time of stillness and silence are those things that you have stuffed down for years, those things that you haven't wanted to take the time to actually look at and deal with, your grief, sadness, loneliness, doubt, regrets, loss. Those are the things that start to surface. And you might think, Lord, I came to you for peace. So why is it every time I sit down to intentionally spend time with you, you keep showing me this hidden pain? Well, there's good reason for it. It's because he wants more for you than a surface-level peace. He wants you to know his lasting peace, lasting joy, and that comes only from him. And for that, he needs to do that work below the surface. Our hidden pain is where our restoration needs to start. When you come to the physician of your soul, he wants you to know that he truly sees you, that none of this is hidden from him, even if it is to you. And because he loves you, he gently brings those wounds to the surface and tell you, stop running, stop hiding, and in the safety of his love for you, give those things to him so he can start to bring his healing in you. According to the prophecy in Isaiah 61 that Jesus claimed as his own mission, bringing restoration is what the Messiah comes to do. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Jesus wants to bring hope into our despair, light into our darkness, to show us his favor in those places where we have felt overlooked or forgotten, to bring forgiveness to our guilt and freedom from those things that have us trapped. But how can Jesus restore in us the things that we refuse to admit, even to ourselves, that we're struggling with? How can he work to heal what we won't surrender to him? If we think following Jesus means pretending that our grief or our pain don't matter or they don't exist, we'll never actually trust him with what's real in our lives. And it takes courage to face those things, but that's where his mission in us begins. Jesus came to fight for us, to do battle with the powers and principalities of this broken world that hold us captive, to break their power over us, not by force, but by the ultimate act of sacrificial love for us. And the Lord who loved you enough to enter into suffering and death on the cross for you can be trusted to handle what's broken in you and to bring you restoration. You see, when the Lord wants to lead us into something new, he often first leads us to things that we need to surrender, things we need to lay down, things we need to grieve of the past in order to free our hearts to move us forward with him to new joys. And we can see this in our reading from the Gospel of John today, where Jesus, before he goes to the cross, is intentionally preparing his disciples for the changes that are going to be coming after his death and after his resurrection. In John 16, Jesus tells his disciples, in a little while they won't see him anymore. But then, a little while after that, they will see him. Confused, they're not sure what Jesus is trying to prepare them for, but into their real uncertainty, Jesus speaks both a hard truth and a promise. He tells them honestly, very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come, but when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish. Because of her joy that a child is born into the world, so with you, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. There's both joy and grief in that message. New life is coming that will never end. But that also means that what has been will end. The disciples had loved physically following after Jesus, watching him heal and teach and learning from him. They couldn't imagine how things could work any other way. And they'd hoped that Jesus would set up a kingdom right there on earth where they would have the offer access to him to the masses themselves. But that wasn't Jesus' mission. Jesus didn't come to establish an earthly kingdom for one generation of one culture of people. His mission was to open up a way for people like you and me from every generation to share in the eternal life of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to give us access to his kingdom now and forever, the kingdom that had come near in Jesus himself. His mission was to open up a life with our God that we can trust will never end, even through death, with Jesus as our way. He came to be our access to restoration and healing and life now and forever. But Jesus could only open up that resurrection life for us by dying, by giving up the very good life that he had shared with his disciples. And Jesus doesn't downplay or belittle their grief at that loss. He doesn't pretend it doesn't matter. No, Jesus tells them to grieve. He tells them this is their time to grieve because the time they spent together mattered, because they matter. We're called to grieve because you matter to him. The truth is, endings are painful, even when they're leading into something good. What has been loved needs to be grieved, and we don't often realize that all change, even good change, brings losses that we need to mourn. And sometimes when things change, we can find that we're surprised by this wave of grief that hits us, and we don't even realize why we're feeling it. If you've been feeling kind of not yourself lately, maybe it's time to ask the Lord if there's something in your life, some change that has happened that has caused something that you need to grieve. And if there is, you need to grieve it. If this is your time of grief, beloved, Jesus asks you to grieve and to trust him with that grief. The path forward to the joy ahead often first leads through laying down what had been or what we thought would be and truly grieving that before we're ready for him to show us what he will do next and lead us forward. Today's All Saints' Day. It's a kind of a bittersweet day because it's a day when we remember those that we have loved, that we've lost in the past year, and all those that we still grieve in our lives, even as together we celebrate the hope that we will one day be reunited with them in Christ. It's a day that we, as the church, get to practice what Jesus is teaching his disciples to trust him for today. We intentionally come together as a community to grieve our losses today, even as we, as a community, put our trust in Jesus' power and promise for our future, for the life to come. So first today, we make the space to grieve and to offer our honest pain to the Lord. Today, as you come forward to receive communion, you'll receive Jesus' solidarity with you in suffering, in your own pain, through the gift of his body and his blood shed for you. Jesus understands your pain. He is with you in it. And then if you would like, you can light a candle in memory of someone that you are grieving for, acknowledging your own real loss and your real hope, your faith in Jesus' promise of life that holds them now beyond what you can see. But maybe today what you need to grieve is a little different. Maybe it's a relationship that you've lost. Maybe it's a hope that you had that wasn't fulfilled. Maybe it's a season in your life that's over. What is a loss in your life today? What do you need to grieve, to lay down, to invite Jesus into in order for you to be able to walk with him into the new thing that he has for you? Next to the candles on either side, we have a table with a whole bunch of cards and some writing utensils that after you light a candle, if you want to take one of those cards and go back to your seat and just spend some time in the worship service asking the Lord, what is it that you need to grieve? If it helps, you can write it down on the card and you can take it home with you and use it in your prayer time as well. Or if you would like, if you write a name of someone that you're grieving or something that you're grieving and you would like the staff to pray over it, please leave it in the baskets on the way out the doors today and we'll pray over them this week because we believe it's important to lift one another up in our times of grief as well. Which brings us to the next action step, support one another. In love, Jesus chose to walk with us in our griefs and as his people, he calls us to do the same for each other. And I know that it's really hard for a lot of us to know how to be there for someone who's grieving because there is no fixing it. Only the resurrection life will fix it. That's a little beyond our pay grade. But what we can do is listen. We can mourn with them. We can acknowledge their hurt, and we can let them know that they're not alone. When Henry Nouwen was asked how to minister to people who are grieving, he answered, "It starts by experiencing the powerlessness of not knowing what to do together. Let those who need to grieve, grieve, and be with them. That's how you help them feel that Jesus is with them and how they might start to trust that the Savior who journeyed from death to resurrection life might not be finished with their story yet either." Which leads us to the last step, to ask the Holy Spirit for new joys revealed. Jesus promised his disciples that after their time of grief, they would see him again and nothing would take away their joy. But in the meantime, there would be a new way to know his power and presence in their lives. In John 16, Jesus says, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me and what he will make known to you." See, just as Jesus only spoke what God the Father told him to speak, and only did what the power of the Holy Spirit enabled him to do as the Word of God made flesh on the earth, the triune God at work. So now, in our lives, the Holy Spirit reminds us of what Jesus taught us about God the Father by his words and through his actions, as he connects his spirit with our spirit in a new kind of relationship, inviting Jesus to be who he is with us and through us as the Holy Spirit empowers us. Now, that was not a possibility the disciples would have been able to even imagine while Jesus is physically there with them, that they could be empowered by the Holy Spirit themselves, that through that Spirit, they would be connected to Jesus' power and presence, each one of them, wherever they were. It was, as Jesus said, too much for them to bear at that point. Understanding would have to come later. But now, after Jesus' victory, the Holy Spirit has been poured out into the world and into our hearts. And he is continuing to do new things in each one of us to reveal his power and presence to new people, new communities, new generations, and new ways in order to fulfill his mission of finding every lost, broken, imprisoned heart and set them free. New life is coming that will never end. But that joy also means the life that has been will end. So faith in Jesus' kingdom leads us as his people to hold loosely to the things of earth, even while we look to him to ask how he wants to use our lives here and now to help people find what's eternal, because our God is still in the resurrection business. And on this All Saints Day, we celebrate how this same God has been at work drawing people to himself through the people of this church for decades. In our 136 years of history, this church has raised up 23 children of the congregation who became pastors. Since I came here in 2008, we have had 7 pastoral interns. And we've seen 3 children of the congregation grow up to be contemporary worship leaders now serving in other congregations. We've raised up 1 tech manager who has served several megachurches and national worship assemblies, with several others who have used those same gifts to serve multiple ways in the kingdom. We've supported 4 staff members to go to seminary while they were working here who went on to serve other congregations. We've seen 8 ministry interns apprenticed in ministry in the areas of worship, communications, technology, and children's ministry. The Holy Spirit has been at work to build up God's people through you, this church, walking together with each new generation in their joys and in their sorrows to help them see the new things that the Lord is doing in them and through them for the sake of this world. So one of the things I'd like to take a moment and to celebrate today is the Awaken Project. Both last year and this year, Community of Grace sent students to the Awaken Project, who both students happened to be named Alex. And we sent them to Mount Carmel and Alexandria to be part of the Gap Year program that mentors and equips young adults interested in ministry to grow in faith, service, and community together. So I'd like to invite up Stephen Wagner, who is just a recent graduate of Master's Institute Seminary, which is in our building. And the students of the Awaken Project, if you would come up too and to tell us a little bit about what this looks like. So, Stephen, what is the Awaken Project and what does it look like?
The Awaken Project is awesome. And if you guys, I don't know whose idea is to send Alex's, but if you guys could keep that going, that'd be great. We take other people, we have Noah, Alexa, Zoe, Jaden, and here's your Alex, by the way. Yeah, the Awaken Project, it's a gap year program for young adults interested in ministry. It's a school year length program. We start beginning of September to the beginning of May. We have week-long Bible classes in the fall, and then we travel a ton in the spring between Quake events, which are youth conferences across the country, and then within our little pocket of the church here, we call the Greenhouse Collective, other congregational internships, Bible schools, mission-setting organizations that focus on young adult residential discipleship. I think it's interesting that, you know, here we are on All Saints Sunday, and one of the themes of today is grief. Just this past week, we finished a class on grief care and counseling. So we used plenty of Kleenex this past week. And finally, I think for a lot of us, facing some things that are hard, but necessary. And to be here on All Saints Day, I think for us is almost a little poetic. And I think the coolest thing that these 5 have said that with being a part of the Awaken Project is they're willing to be a part of the work that Jesus is doing in them and do it slowly, do it intentionally, and do it together. I think that's what I'm most proud of these guys, being willing to say, okay, yes, we're signing up the Awaken Project. I mean, yeah, the travel's cool. They have to put up with me. That's not a cool part of it. But there's tons of really good things that come from it. I think one of it's really what Andrew's preaching on today is this work that Jesus is doing inside of each of us that does come from a place of grief. What happens when Jesus meets us there? But then, too, you know, the other side of it is all the people who have specifically from this congregation. Here's another one right here. Here he is. Here's another one. Another one from your midst. And then, you know, from, let's see, we got Sioux Falls. Zoe came from Florida. Wow. Lexa just down the street, Maple Grove, and then another Sioux Falls. That there are still people being called into ministry today. It's going to happen tomorrow and the next week and next year. God is not done with his church yet, and here's your proof. Mm-hmm. And frankly, your congregation is proof too. So it is an honor to get to be with you all today. We'll just be out after service. Please come say hi. Please, please. We'll be around just for as long as you'd like to talk. Love to come visit. And yeah, thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Let's pray for them together. If you would just extend a hand as we bless them and pray for them. Lord Jesus, thank you for this group of young people and just the power of what you're doing in their lives. We just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would surround them and fill them and equip them with every good thing, all the things that you want to do in them and through them. Lord, we pray that you would help them to see the giftings that you're giving them, the things that you're calling them into, and that you would give them the strength and the peace and the joy, Lord, to follow where you lead. Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with us as your congregation as well, Lord, to equip and to be with the next generation in their joys and their sorrows. As people have been there for us, Lord, we pray that we also would be there for one another and for those who are yet to come, that together we might see the power and the beauty of how you are restoring us, Lord, and that you are at work to restore this world into your presence and into your love. Lord, we thank you for your kingdom promises that hold us now and forever. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thanks for coming up. All that has ever been will one day end, but life in Christ will never end. And joy is revealed in us in knowing that our lives are found in him now and forever. And on this All Saints Day, we remember those people who have gone before us, those who have blessed us in faith, who have helped us through our joys and our sorrows to find hope in Jesus for ourselves now and forever. So it's fitting that today we also ask the Holy Spirit to show us how he would use our lives to be a blessing to those around us and those who would come after us, to help them to know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he is the one who brings us from sorrow to joy. And today, together with all the saints that have gone before us, we celebrate his victory, opened up to every generation and to all who will receive it. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. Lord Jesus, thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for saving us, for dying for us, for rising for us. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would continue to do your work in us, to lead us and to guide us into all joy. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.